Welcome to the Albion Obsessed podcast, coming to you with the first ever American hosted edition in honor of the club's adventures on American soil. I am happy to be here with you today with Joe and Curtis. Joe and Curtis, how are you and how does it feel to have your beloved club playing on American soil?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling good, mate. Great to have you hosting today. I felt it was appropriate for us to have one of our American guys hosting at least one of these summer series podcasts, whether Sony gets a go on the next one. Obviously, Tom's on holiday. We wish Tom the best time in Greece. And if you're watching, Tom, hello. But yeah, no, it feels weird, but it's also been really exciting to see the Albion over there and to see you guys, you know, take to this like you've been watching this club for 20 years. It's been so good, and the experiences you guys have had, I've said it to you, Dagan, I've said it to many other people, I've never been so happy for a group of people, and you all deserve everything. So yeah, it's been very weird but very exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, I can only echo what Joe was saying there. Like, I mean, I'm still very caught up in this whole sort of whirlwind. I pinch myself occasionally just to be like, look at where we are, these massive, humongous stadiums in America, you know, like, it's crazy. It's so, so crazy considering where we were not too long ago. But I'm just so immensely happy that we're doing so well and we are building such an interesting, vast fan base with people such as yourself and Sony and so many other fantastic American fans that we've had the privilege of speaking to, and across the globe, really. So, yeah, but no, it's just amazing. I'm so proud of the club and the fan base.
Well, I'll just say this has been an incredible week. It's been an absolutely incredible week getting to see the team in person, first in Philly and then in Atlanta. And in Atlanta in particular, I got to meet so many different people and so many people who travel from Brighton to see the team. And I could give a long, long salute to all the folks. I have to give Paul a shout out of Stateside Seagulls for all of his work to make the fan events happen. And Nicola for hosting sort of the event in Atlanta and taking the lead on that. As you guys know, it was a bit of a momentous occasion getting to meet various dignitaries, foremost among those for me, Tony Bloom. Just unimaginable for those who weren't there. My recent tweet about Brighton under his leadership, I showed it to him, and he said he hadn't seen that information presented in that way before and asked if he could take a photo of my phone, which was the most mind-blowing thing imaginable. But I mean, I talked to him like an old friend. I mean, well, it wasn't, he was just so human, so kind, so gracious with his time moving around the room and talking to everybody. But, you know, literally standing and having a beer with him when he first arrived.
I reckon he was just stood there looking at this graph saying, we should just give this man a job, I think. Give this man a job.
I could do the same with Joe's kit designing skills. Talk to your friends at Nike. But he was great. His whole family was great. His brother Darren and Josh, his son, and Ray, his uncle, who's been with the club for over 50 years. So many of the support personnel from the club were just incredible and gracious and welcoming. If I wasn't a seagull for life before, I most certainly am for now, going forward, no matter what league, no matter what successes or failures we may have along the way. And that's born of certainly the club itself and then of the incredible, incredible fans. I just blown away by the stories. I'm going to share one just really quickly. I have to shout out Colin and Kevin and Sam. I spent a lot of time talking to, but Colin has missed two games in 30 years. Two games in 30 years, one for Kevin's wedding and another, they got stuck traveling abroad and he couldn't make it back. But just the dedication and the passion. And they were up above to my left at the game, and they were singing throughout. And watching all of these American young kids especially turn around, sort of in disbelief, but also in amusement, looking at them singing and holding the flags that they brought from home, not the little, you know, the little flags like the ones behind me. It was just incredible, right? And to see that passion and kind of purpose of being a fan and thinking, totally like forming a conception in young fans' minds of like what English football is like. And for me, it was just really, really cool to witness and an honor to meet them and so many others that I could name like them. But I wanted to shout out that trio in particular for their many travels, and hopefully they're safely in New York and enjoying this one as well and meeting many more people and inspiring them. For a game that we're going to talk about in a minute, but before we talk about the Newcastle game that is coming up this evening, at least this evening for me, into the wee hours of the morning for you, I wanted to talk to you guys about game two of the summer series as we faced off against the teeny tiny, ankle-nipping Bees of Brentford. Gentlemen, what were your thoughts? What were your big takeaways from game two?
So, as you say, very feisty, very stingy. The team were met with aggression that I don't really associate with a preseason friendly. But let's look at the positives of what that would do for the team. It would get them ready for a very physical battle in the Premier League. Probably the toughest test we've had so far in terms of physicality. And it's props to Brentford. You know, they did go man-to-man. They did put a lot of pressure on us. And we had to think a little bit differently. So if you look at it that way, then yes, we got a very, very good test rather than one where it's unfair or a little bit too much for a preseason friendly. But yeah, I thought overall it was well controlled from us. There were a lot of moments where we had to be resolute defensively, a little bit leaky at the back, but I think is to be expected when you don't have fullbacks playing alongside two, you know, natural centre defenders who I thought did quite well, Veltman and Webster. So yeah, and obviously Jason Steele called into action a lot. And I thought he played well. There were a couple of mistakes that he made, but let's be honest, it's preseason. There's going to be mistakes made all over the pitch, and I'd much rather the mistakes be made now than come the 13th or the 12th of August when we kick off against Luton Town. So overall, a really positive display and something that we can fully take forward.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm going to have to echo just a lot of what Joe was saying there. I mean, sometimes it's good to have these sorts of games because it's just a great test for everyone involved, you know, because it's lovely having a game that you can just steamroll your opponent and everything. That's really good for confidence and what have you. But I thought, you know, we faced a tougher test here than we did against Chelsea when we were 10 men, you know. They were resolute, they were feisty and stingy and everything, as you said. But yeah, they pushed us, and I think it was a really good test. And I thought Steele was outstanding when he had to go for the saves and whatnot. It was just really important minutes for a lot of players. I thought people like João Pedro looked really great as well. And of course, you know, the man pictured below, Adingra, but I'm sure we'll get to talking about him in a minute. But yeah, just outstanding. I thought it was a really necessary and really important game for us.
Yeah. Did you guys note any sort of major differences or particular similarities, anything that was really, you know, an improvement or maybe a step back or maybe something you have a lingering concern or level of excitement over that you saw?
The thing that I'm really, really excited about is Simon Adingra. And I mean, I know we've only seen him for, 30 minutes against Chelsea, however long you played against Brentford. My brain fails me tonight. I'm sorry that I can't give you the exact stats. But my God, that guy is direct and electric. He is so good. And it'd be really interesting to get your view on Adingra as well, Dagan, from somebody that was in the stadium. But when we talk about Matoma's form at the tail end of last season, it's no secret that he was tailing off. He was still very important for us, don't get me wrong, but I think he was lacking that competition. I think he felt, okay, my spot's safe. Simon Adingra is knocking at your door now, Karu. He's going to keep you fully on your toes, and this guy is very, very ready and very capable of playing in the Premier League, the Europa League, whatever competition that we're fighting in next season. So that's the main excitement takeaway that I take away from that. But I think I'm concerned about our defensive errors. But again, how much can I put that down to not having fullbacks playing? No Tarik Lamptey, Purvis Estupiñan played a bit part. No Lewis Dunk, no James Milner. There's probably more that I've missed. Obviously, Igor can't play. He's only just signed. So I'm going to reserve my worries there a little bit. But overall, it's just really, really exciting. And hello to everyone in the comments as well. Andrew, Dan, Max, Justin. We will have a look through your thoughts in just a second. But yeah, Curtis, what's your overall?
Biggest takeaways, I suppose, between the two games. Was that the question? I'm sorry, I've completely blanked. Sorry.
So, looking for any similarities or major differences between the two games.
Sure.
Anything that sort of, maybe something allayed a concern that you had in the first game, or brought about a new concern that you did not yet have.
If I'm honest with you, in these pre-seasons, I'm never really too concerned or anything like that, really, because we usually look completely different by the start of the actual Prem season anyway. But it's good for these sort of outside people to get their showing, like Hinshelwood and stuff, who has really impressed me. I thought he's been fantastic. And I believe he's someone that could definitely get some more minutes this coming season. And what with the many, the competition football, the cup ties and things like that, I think he could definitely play a cameo there. But I was really impressed with, like, João Pedro again. I thought he looked fantastic. And I agree with what Joe was saying. Adingra is going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of people. And he definitely can be a player that can push Matoma. I think that could be good. I think healthy competition for position, I think, is very, very necessary to keep players sharp, because, they want to keep that thing. But I agree as well with what Joe was saying about sort of defensive issues might have been slightly concerning. But again, it's nothing to read into, I don't think, because, we're missing a few players, but it's fine.
Yeah, the other thing that healthy competition gets you, Curtis, is health in all likelihood. A rotation of players, and that's really fun to see. Justin notes in the chat, Adingra coming off the bench and running at tired defenders is going to give opponents fits, and I would agree. And Max, alas, I'm very sad that I'm not going to the game, leaving you on vacation tomorrow, so I could not make it to New York for this final one. Sony is there reporting back, and we're going to be excited to hear from her. Andrew's got some comments about Newcastle. We're going to talk about those in a little bit, but stay tuned, Andrew, for that. Talking about specific players, I mean, Adingra and Hinshelwood standing out. For me, the name that comes out, even in the second game where he didn't score, is João Pedro. The chant that emerged, or the song that emerged very quickly, is every time he gets the ball, I think he's going to score a goal. João Pedro. And that was echoing throughout the time in Atlanta after seeing what we saw in Philly. He's electric and unselfish, and that has really stood out to me. He's just been really, really impressive. And I think, potentially thought about maybe talking about this new Undav leaving rumor. Maybe that suggests Pedro's going to spend more time at the nine. But there are other individuals that have stood out for you guys in the games other than those three.
Yeah, Billy Gilmore for me. I think the discussion was between, in the Albion Obsessed chat at least, that it's got to be, if Caicedo stays, Caicedo and Gilmore in the middle to start every game. And I think Billy Gilmore has been pushing and fighting for so long to deserve this space, and he's showing why he deserves this space. And it's really good to see, because he's such a humble guy, such a hardworking guy. So yeah, for me, Billy Gilmore, especially that little pass for João Pedro for that first chance, through the eye of a needle, and that's exactly what you need from a midfield player that's going to win you the ball, get you up the pitch, and have you through for a chance to score the game. And yeah, really, really exciting for me for Billy Gilmore to be getting these minutes and show what he can do.
That's a good shout, Joe. When when he got the ball, when Gilmore got the ball in that situation, I said, folks, right? I was like, he's about to drop a dime, because you could just, you saw his head come up and where that pass was, and he, it was just perfect. So yeah. What about you, Curtis?
Facundo Buonanotte, I thought, had a really good cameo in that game, game two. I thought he looked really, really good. And also in the first game, I don't think we mentioned Yasin Ayari, I thought had a really good showing too. Two guys that have not got as much time as they probably would have liked, but it's just the way it is. But I would imagine that they'll get their chance to shine this season, considering, again, the amount of football we have to play. But again, Billy Gilmore, I can't say any more great, fantastic words for that man. He just impresses me every single time I see him on the pitch. So, yeah, those three for me are big standouts.
Curtis, that's a great connection point between the guys who perhaps, you know, didn't see as much time as they would have liked, and maybe we would have liked to see them. As we turn our attention to looking at this Newcastle game, what do you guys hope to see, or who or what do you hope to see in tonight's game? And which players do you feel like has the most to prove, most to lose, most to gain from this game tonight? Is there anybody who's really fighting for their way you feel like really needs a good showing?
I think João Pedro, again, has everything to show, everything to, you know, with Evan Ferguson chomping at the bit to come back after the end of last season. Obviously scored a couple of goals to secure us European football, but had that stint out through injury. But, you know, João Pedro's coming into to fighting for that space. And Danny Welbeck has also spoken of João Pedro's quality and what he's going to bring to this football club. And I know we're speaking about João Pedro a lot, but he's probably one of the most exciting talents I've seen through the door for the money that he costs as well. Like we spoke on our last podcast with Stephen Edwards, the chef of the Tunnel Club, he was saying that he was concerned that we were spending this money, and it's not really worked out for us when we spent big money on people. And João Pedro's doing what he does and proving him wrong, hopefully.
Joe, what dish would João Pedro be?
A very spicy one, Curtis. One that will frighten defenses left, right, and centre. It's fantastic, you know, to see this guy come in and be so excited. Ryan Adset in the comments. Hello, Ryan. How are you, mate? Really, really exciting times. And I think it's João Pedro's spot to lose, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I actually would like to see more time for Ferguson. I think it would be really good for him. Maybe a pairing of those two would be great. I'd like to see that. But no one particular player am I sort of vying to see. I think there'll be a lot of rotation through this game. And considering, you know, we've heard Eddie Howe basically say he's going to be putting out a completely different Newcastle team. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited for this game tonight, how it's going to look, because again, it's going to be really, really tough. It's a really well-drilled, really tricky Newcastle under Howe. So we'll just have to wait and see what comes along.
A couple comments I want to highlight. Justin, if we hold on to Caicedo, our double pivot could actually be, all caps, stronger this season. Gilmore and Dahoud are just so smooth on the ball. Justin, I tend to agree with you. And Ryan, João Pedro starts ahead of Ferguson for Luton. That's a bold prediction from Ryan.
I think it's the right prediction. I think João Pedro, obviously I don't think Ferguson's maybe had enough time to show what he can do this preseason, but João Pedro's shown De Zerbi what he can do and how dangerous he can be, especially in a front line of, imagine Adingra, João Pedro, a March or Matoma or Enciso. It's a very, very scary prospect, but not for us. And I'm very excited that we're not on the receiving end of that starting attacking lineup. Just going back to your previous comment, question about who has the most to lose. And I think we need to see more from Kari Matoma in tonight's game to really solidify his place as the main man, the danger man for Brighton that he was known as last season. He was the first name out of everybody's mouth, really, when you were talking about Brighton's attack. It was Karim Mitoma who was starting all the attacks. It was Karim Mitoma who got fans off their seats. Whether it's, I don't know, lack of fitness, lack of match time or whatever, that we're not seeing the best of Karim Mitoma. But I think if he does start tonight, he has everything to prove. As I've already mentioned about Adingra, for me, it's his spot. It's Adingra's spot at the moment. So it's going to be a really interesting final game of the summer series, and obviously going into the Amex next season, next weekend even, to really start seeing these players show their colours and show to De Zerbi that you have to pick me against Luton. You have to. You cannot drop me, boss. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see who steps up to the plate.
I sort of feel, though, like I feel like there's been a sort of a lot of things being said about Mitoma, but I sort of feel like the way he plays has sort of just sort of evolved and changed a bit more, because he started to assist a lot more, I think, towards the tail end of the season, as opposed to sort of going for these sort of snaky things he would do to try and get into the box. And I think it's still really good play for him, but I just think people are got so used to seeing this sort of like almost like attacking threat from this wing position, that now we're not seeing it. They're like, what's going on? What's happened? But I just think it's more of an evolved position from him. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, he's a problem for defenses, and he has to be accounted for. And I think some of what happened as a result of his success is he's given so much attention. And I think it does open up the pitch for other guys. If Adingra does the same, he will have the same effect. Obviously two really class finishes, but one, you know, he made space out of where there was very little. The other was just a sensational first touch from a great long ball from Steele. Coming back to Ryan, I think it's possible we could see both those guys start together. Pedro could certainly play the 10 and Ferguson the 9. They both have the capability to drop deeper and set up the other. They're both tremendous threats to score. They're both physically able. That was one of the things that stood out to me about Pedro that really surprised me, is how strong he was holding off to receive the ball with his back to the goal. I did not expect that. I expect him to be just more speed and electricity, but he looks like a really, really strong guy. My thought on who I'd like to see tonight, I'm hoping to see a Verbruggen wire-to-wire performance. We got to see a full game of Steele. Steele obviously acquitted himself very, very well with some incredible saves, some incredible shot stopping, and obviously the nice distribution on the assist. He also had some really shaky moments with some questionable passes that left everybody moaning and head scratching, that led to at least one of those tremendous shot stopping opportunities. I think a lot, it's going to be hard to judge the keepers with the sort of the defense that we've been putting out there, because they've been under a lot of fire. The goals for Verbruggen conceded were all with 10 men. So I'd love to see him get the opportunity to play with at least a full squad in front of him, and preferably for a full game. Cause I think he got a harsh review after his first performance. So he's the one for me who feels like he has the most to prove or gain with the game tonight. Guys, who at this point, there's more to see, but if the season started today and this was our game against Luton, who do you wish to see in your first 11, assuming health?
So mine would be Veltman. So wait, am I assuming that everyone's fit? Did you say?
We're going to assume that everyone's fit. And I'm going to ask anybody in the comments, go ahead and throw your 11 in as well. We'd love to see him.
All right. So assuming everyone's fit, it's got to be Steele, Veltman, Dunk, Webster, Estupiñán, Caicedo, Gilmore, Pedro in the 10, March, and Adingra on the wings, and Ferguson up top. And so obviously I agreed with Ryan's statement earlier that Pedro starts ahead of Ferguson, but I also agree with you, Dagan, that they can be a force to be reckoned with if starting together. And as you say, João Pedro can prove that he can play in any position across the front line, any position behind the striker in the attacking midfield role as well. So, that would be my starting 11.
So was that Adingra in place of Matoma on the left? Is that what I heard?
Was, yeah.
Okay. You had Pascal Gross where?
Yeah, that's the issue. That's the issue. Would I put Veltman at centre back and Pascal Gross right back? Probably, but that's my choice. But obviously, yeah, you have to find somewhere for Pascal Gross. It's just, you know, we've not even spoken about Nciso. Where does Nciso fit? You know, this guy is incredible. This guy's electric. Towards the end of last season, nice, and what he's shown as well.
We're like,
yeah, where absolutely.
So many amazing players, you know, like at our beck and call on the bench and whatnot. It's fantastic.
I'm so thankful that it's not my job to pick the 11. So thanks for that question, Dagan. Appreciate it.
Curtis, what about you? Who's your 11?
For me, again, I feel like I'm being very boring this evening, but I'm going to have to echo with what Joe said there. I think that's just honestly the perfect lineup. What I would choose if everyone was fit. Yeah, not much to add to that, unfortunately. What about yourself, Dagan? What would you say?
It's really, really tough. I don't know enough about Luton yet. That will come. I'm going on vacation this week, so I will do all of my homework as I did last year in picking a team. This year, I'll devote myself to learning more about the league writ large. And I owe everybody who's been tracking the transfer rumor document, because I have not given that any attention this week, as I've tried to keep up with my life at work as well as my travels to watch the Albion play. Yeah, hard to be a fan and an employee of anywhere else and a journalist all at the same time, I guess. I've never attempted that. But starting 11. I think Steele has earned the start for game one as of today. I wouldn't rule out Verbruggen wrestling that away from him, but I would say today Steele kept the job with his performance the other night, if there was, in fact, a competition. Having not seen Julio, my expectation is he's going to be the starting left center back, so I'm going to plug him in there and Dunk on the other side. If Dunk's unavailable, I think maybe you see Veltman. I think he outplayed Webster so far, and then that would put Gross at right back. I think, like you, Joe, if it's everybody, it's for me, Dunk and Igor in the center, Stupinan on obviously in his usual left back spot, and Veltman at right back. Caicedo is a lock. I think there's a question whether you have Gross or Gilmore in that other midfield pivot position. That's the spot that makes the most sense for Gross. I think, you know, if you're going to put Veltman at right back, but I think Gilmore has just been phenomenal. But it's hard to say Pascal Gross doesn't have a spot.
The other thing to suggest is João Pedro up front and Pascal Gross in the 10.
Right.
We've seen him play there very effectively. He can float all the way across in all empty spaces and link up with, you know, Adingra, March and João Pedro to create ample chances. So that's also another option for De Zerbi. And as Curtis says, it's mad that we've got all these options because, you know, three years ago, what did we have? Malpe and Welbeck.
Yeah,
to choose from.
So light on a lot of options, and we were plagued by injury. I mean, last season especially. So it's good to see us really stocking up the bench.
It's good to see us back De Zerbi, and to have exactly what De Zerbi's asked for. Because at the end of last season, he was stressing so much that we need a bigger squad. We have to be ready. And Tony Bloom's getting this squad ready. The team behind Tony Bloom are doing everything possible. And that is really exciting to see that we're not just going to be like, oh, one season wonder, let's enjoy Europe with what we've got and let's see where we go. No, we want to go to that next level. And De Zerbi, Bloom, Barber, the rest of the team, they're going to take us to that next level. I don't care if I get egg on my face in 6 months' time, but I really, really am excited for the start of this season and to see what this squad can do. I don't think we're finished in the transfer market either. Really exciting times to see how we line up, one for our first Premier League game, one and secondly, our first Europa League game. I mean, we play our first Europa League game before we play our first Carabao Cup game, which, you know, we've always played in those sort of early rounds of the Carabao Cup. And it's weird to see that we're getting this sort of VIP treatment that we don't have to play those very glamorous fixtures at, I won't disrespect any clubs, but, you know, very glamorous fixtures at League Two clubs, etc.
Finishing out March, like the same front line. No, not the same front line, because I would still start Matoma. I would still give Matoma the spot on the other wing. For me, I think Odinga as a change of pace is still the right call at this point. Let him earn it. I mean, you know, two goals was certainly impressive, but Matoma was you could make a case he was one of our most important players for the season last year. I think it's his. And then I would play those two. I certainly wouldn't have Ferguson on the bench. I think we are always better with Ferguson out there. He's just a threat. He creates that vertical space. He's able to win the ball in the air. I think the world of him. And I think certainly without Undav, Ferguson's ability to drag defenders and find openings in small windows is really, really unique. Because Undav, you know, we talked about that on the last pod, but he just finds space in a way that many can't. So that's my 11. But injuries, you know, and all those things can become a factor and change things around. And we could see something tonight that changes things as well. We have a little bit of time. Do we want to talk about, Joe, you mentioned you don't think we're done in the transfer window. What thoughts do either of you have about who we might be targeting, what positions we might most need support in? I think there's some consensus around this, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. And today, oh my gosh, RDZ said he has a midfielder in mind, a name unspoken, unsaid, not willing to be revealed. Do you have thoughts on who the mystery man might be?
I have no idea who the mystery man is. Roberto De Zerbi knows a lot more about football than I do. So I wouldn't even begin to speculate on who that might be. But whoever it is, I'm sure that they could come in and do an absolutely stellar job. If Roberto De Zerbi likes them, I also really like them. I think we need a new right back. I think we've been linked to a right back, Holm, I believe, from Sweden. I'm not overly convinced by what I've seen, but I reserve my judgment on all players until I see them in a Brighton shirt for at least 5, 6, 7, 8 games until I have my first initial thoughts. And I don't know why. And this is based on absolutely nothing at all. No sources, no nothing. Just a gut feeling that we're going to make some bizarre, random, stellar signing for crazy money. I don't know why. But I just got a feeling that we're withholding something big, that we're going to make a huge statement in the transfer market and say Brighton and Hove Albion have arrived. And we've got this guy too. Whether that be Kudus, who knows? Whether that be a bizarre turnaround in fate that we get Levi Colwill, who knows? But I just really, I know, we said we wouldn't mention him. I just really think that we've got something up our sleeves. And I'm really excited to see how the rest of this window pans out. I think it's important to mention this. I know I said we wouldn't mention this. But I just saw Brighton Bubble tweet something about Moises Caicedo and that deal from a Tier 2 source stating that Chelsea are preparing their fifth and final bid. So whether you take anything from that, whether they're putting pressure on us, but Tony Bloom always wins. That's all I'll say on that.
What do I think we need to strengthen? Yeah, I think right back position, definitely. I think that's been somewhere where we should have probably already made signings for, like last season and what have you. So we looked a bit weak there. Where else? Yeah, I think depending on how the Caicedo situation goes, that will play a factor into signing somebody else as well, obviously. I mean, I would like Kudus to be the player that comes in, but I realise that he's getting a lot of interest from a lot of top clubs. I mean, I've heard today that Man United are in for him now. I've heard that blue Premier League club in London, they're interested in him as well. I won't say their name because the fans will hear and they'll be like, ah! Yeah, there's just a lot of really exciting players that I've heard we've been linked with. Nothing too concrete and stuff, but again, whoever comes in, I'm sure they must be impressive because I just trust the judgment of who's bringing these players in, essentially. So,
Dagan, I'm going to throw the question that you asked me back to you about Roberto De Zerbi saying that he had someone in mind. You're well versed in my opinion, or more well versed than me to state what who that name might be. You've got a lot of players' names on a list. Who do you think that would be?
Well, I mean, I can't help but wonder about some of the Italian options with De Zerbi making that statement, but I don't. None of those jump out to me individually as much. With the club's history of being quiet and things coming out of nowhere, and Gianluca Lopi being sort of the one player that seems the most similar, I can't help but in the back of my mind wonder if that's not the guy that actually is identified as the real replacement. Selfishly, on the heels of this American journey of the club, I wouldn't mind it being Tyler Adams. I know there are mixed feelings about him. But boy, would the American fan contingency jump on the bandwagon very quickly if he were in that role. And statistically speaking, he was a steady hand and a great ball winner in the midfield. I think there's some improvement in passing maybe. But Leeds played a very different system. And so I think it's harder to judge where they played a riskier style where the ball was going to be given away more. So I think he could adapt to us. And the other name that keeps popping up for me is Valentin Rongier from Marseille, who seems like a possible target and another statistical similarity to Caicedo. A couple of shouts to make. Andrew, Caicedo was brilliant in the last game, and he was. And again, I just hope we keep him. I hope we never have to find out who this mystery man is that De Zerbi has in mind.
Thing is, he'd be so tough to replace, you know, how well he plays and whatnot. But again, I'll trust whoever they bring in.
Well, judging by this comment from Bubble, let's hope, well, not comment from Bubble, comment from the source that Bubble quoted, let's hope that this bid is the final bid and we can be finally done with it, whichever way it goes. Yeah. Whether that's to Chelsea, whether that's a stupid £85 million bid, which will be met with a straight-up reject email yet again. I'm sure Tony Bloom's got it waiting in his outbox, ready to go already. So, let's hope it comes to an end soon.
I'm putting pieces together in my head in real time here. And Justin's comment, breaking our transfer record twice in one window, that would be wild. And the links to Kudus and this sort of deteriorating of the Chelsea relationship and them being so heavily linked to Kudus as well makes me wonder a bit if Undav's exit, was it a signal that João Pedro is seen more as a number nine or as one we'd like to play in that position more often? And so that solidifies the three sort of striker options with Ferguson and Welbeck. And that a player who could play on the wing and play the 10 like Kudus might be worth being that next big record-breaking defense.
It's interesting that we'd make that decision beforehand, though, for me. Why would we make that decision of letting Undav go when we haven't got this deal over the line, whether if that is the way that it's going? For me, I think that's a little bit too risky, and that's why I would lean more towards the fact that it's maybe just Undav saying, I want more game time, I want to be in my homeland. Obviously, we know that he had a lot of personal issues last season, which, you know, if it is that, I don't like to speculate on that, but if it is that, that's completely fair enough, and, you know, you can't begrudge the guy. I'm gutted that we won't see Undav play a part next season, because towards the end of last season, in pre-season, I've been really excited by him, and I love him as a guy as well. I think he looks great to be around. Looks like he's well respected within the squad as well. So maybe that this move is the club showing that they respect him, and they say, "Yeah, you do deserve to play more." But the spot we're in now, we can't guarantee you that, Dennis. So let's find you the best possible move, and that is the best possible move for him: a move to Bundesliga, and let's hope that he can show that he is that striker that can find the back of the net 15 times a season.
Well, they did the same with Sarmiento, and I think it's really important that Sarmiento gets as much game time as he possibly can, and he'll definitely get that at West Brom. Another really exciting prospect who I think has shone now and again when we've seen flashes of him, but he's been plagued by injuries, unfortunately. So I think just as many games for him as possible, I think it's necessary.
Yeah, Richard has said his den is definitely going. It was quoted by a very well-respected source, a source that broke the Verbruggen news and was quite reliable on that as well. So as Dagan said in the comments, quite a strong rumour, but something to definitely keep your eye on over the next few days.
And as far as the Caicedo replacement, I think we can completely rule out some of the South American options. And we were recently linked, and the name has escaped me. I haven't seen it written down with my own hand because it hasn't made it in my spreadsheet yet. But another, I believe, Ecuadorian prospect or Peruvian prospect. Maybe I'm conflating two different guys. I think I am conflating two different guys. As well as Redondo and Eki Fernandez are two that I know we were linked to. I know we aren't linked to. I'm linking us to in my own mind, looking at the South American landscape and who might fit that CDM role. But those are two who would be maybe a little bit more developmental, but maybe ready.
So, see, this is why Tony Bloom took your business card, Dagan. you are one of the scouts. I'm sure of it.
He's sat there watching this now, and he goes, "What do we know about the guy you just mentioned? Can we get him in?" Or?
He try to watch in the future. So,
Curtis, you've played an absolute blinder introducing Dagan to this podcast, because I'm pretty sure you've recruited one of Brighton's scouting members. So, fair play on that one.
The whole time, that was my plan.
I've got a lot of learning to do, fellas. I've got a lot of learning to do. But it's been a blast.
Dagan, I'm gonna flip the interviewer roles right now, and just sort of aim towards the end of this podcast and ask you, what has this meant to you? This whole experience of seeing the Albion in the US and meeting up with so many people, you know, interacting with these guys online. If you could sum it up, what has it meant to you?
Joe, that's a... I know I sound like I'm saying the same thing or sort of a canned answer, but it's transformative to be as old as I am and to step into something completely new, completely foreign. I guess some might say quite literally foreign, and be welcomed in this way. You know, I have an incredible work community and I have an incredible family community that I'm a part of. But this Albion community has taken a seat alongside those is one of the most important ones in my life. You know, Curtis, you talked about on our recent pod, your sort of found family. And I think that's what this feels like. And anybody who saw me in Atlanta, I was trying to not only meet everyone, but learn everyone's name. Because I just felt really connected to these people. And for me, that's a way to show them how important they are. Like that relationship, that connection around the club means something. And I want to make a big list of all the names of the folks, and maybe I'll read those in the next pod, the ones that I can remember. But yeah, it was tremendous. And so getting to experience it in person so soon feels like cheating. Getting to meet everyone that I met, Paul Barber and Tony Bloom signing my shirt and meeting Glenn Murray. Like, I don't think I deserve that. And you guys have been, you know, very gracious to say that, oh, no, you do. You drove, you know, 8 hours there and back, and you know, you deserve it as much as anybody. But I just feel like a guest to something that's been welcomed in, maybe undeservedly. You know, Curtis sending me a shirt out of the blue just because he thought I was an inspired fan online. And then you guys having me on here, I can't say enough what it's meant. And I think this weekend it felt even more real, right? To be in it and among it with people who have, you know, made their life of it, not just online, not just having this kind of conversation or a Twitter DM conversation with stateside fans in particular. There were several people I wanted to get up with and didn't connect with because I was just going in so many different directions. So many people asking me, when are you coming over? And I certainly hope that happens sooner rather than later, but no hard commitments there. But I'm just, again, honored. I'm hosting today, which I'm honored to do that as well. What a culmination of the journey with you guys. And looking at that little icon in the center, I handed out a couple of hundred of those over the weekend. I hope people are enjoying it, and I hope, you know, the part that I'm playing is invaluable in some way to the listeners. And
you've got a hugely important part, Dagan. Never feel like that you are just this barnacle on the ship that is Albion Obsessed. You're part of the team now. You're part of the family, whether you like it or not. So.
Thanks, Curtis.
And to follow on from what Curtis says, you inject a different energy into this whole community. You as a person, it's an absolute honor to have you on. It's an absolute honor for me to hand the hosting roles to you for today to mark our fantastic stateside adventure. You know, seeing my brand, mine and Toby's brand, in and around the US, and seeing Tony Bloom hold the sticker, like it's mind blowing. And you and Sony make this all possible. And honestly, I can't say enough good words about you guys to sort of sum up my feelings. But as I say, you inject a certain positivity into us that we've never known. We've never known it. And you've got me excited for the new season, like where I normally would be unbelievably nervous. So yeah, no, props to you, Dagan. And yeah, there you go. Glenn Murray holding an Albion Obsessed sticker. Yeah, honestly, mate, thank you.
Thank you, Joe and Curtis. This opportunity wouldn't have happened without you guys. And I will tell you, as to that positivity and naivety, I didn't have anybody who brought a more optimistic perspective about, you know, our prospects for this coming season. And I did tell our fine chairman owner that I thought we would be headed to the Champions League next year. And I think he might too. Just saying. So I'll leave that where it sits. Justin, I'll let you know. Alan Varela is being really heavily linked to Porto. Justin suggested Alan Varela as a Caicedo replacement, and that was one I really liked early on too. But it looks like Porto is in his future. I haven't confirmed that completely, but it does look close at hand. Gentlemen, do you have any other thoughts before we say goodbye?
It's not after the watershed yet in the UK, so I wasn't going to say what I'm about to say, but we are effing massive. There you go. There's a censored version of what I want to say.
His American one. His American one for you. You best be darn tootin' that we're going to win tonight. Right?
Fan-darn-tastic.
Fan-darn-tastic. That's the one. That's your sign-off right there. Have a fan-darn-tastic day.
No, I just hope that we see a really good game tonight. I'm really excited to see us sort of conclude the American journey. Whilst it's been fun, we need our boys back here so I can see them at the Amex next week. We're done sharing now, Dagan. Give them back.
It'd be my pleasure to do so. Just glad they visited. And I hope they come back here again so we can do this another time. I just want to thank you both again for joining us. I want to thank everybody who tuned in live and participated in the chat. I want to thank those who listened in or watched and will listen later. I want you to remember to like and share and subscribe to that YouTube. Leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. Who's your ideal 11 right now? What are you thinking about as we go into this game against Newcastle? What are you hoping to see tonight and who you're hoping to see tonight? Tom, I can't believe I'm getting to say this, but wherever you may be, whenever you may be, up the Albion. Take care, everybody.